Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric joins us to the subtle strains of Mead from Hell. Hello, Eric.
Well, it's all I do. I listen to very, very nuanced music. I don't listen to that. I mean, let's be honest, folks, just so you know, like, I every morning I get up and I kind of struggle through my morning ablutions, and then I usually see Rich's Facebook post about the fact that I'm supposed to be on the radio later, and I go to Spotify and I look up some sort of keyword, and today we came up with Mead from Hell.
So your band doesn't play that then?
Uh-oh. We lost Eric.
What happened to him? What'd you do to him?
I'm not sure.
Oh dear. All right. We'll effort to reconnect here with Eric and see what we can do. All right. Indeed, it's Message in the Bottle, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street.
Maybe we didn't play enough of his chosen music.
More Ale Storm is what we needed there. All right. We lost Eric, but now we have reconnected through the magic of telecommunications. Maybe that was the guys from Alestorm who wanted more of the song.
Yeah, and then they dropped me. You believe that? Get my agent on. Oh, Rich, you're back.
Hi. Oh, yeah.
Hey. Oh, sorry.
Sensors. You never know what they're going to do.
No, you know what? There's some weird hoodoo happening with all my electronics today. It might have been my fault. I have no idea. Anyway, I don't know where you all lost me, but I was trying to explain to the folks out there that I don't regularly listen to the band Alestorm.
No, I was asking before we got cut off if your band did a cover version of that.
No. In point of fact, but exciting news on the band front.
Yes.
We're actually going to be able to see each other and play.
Nice.
We're as of today, I guess I'm the last one. As of today, I got my second shot this morning at 6 a.m. And by the way, if I sort of drift off into La La Land, I'm only now starting to get a little woogie because of it. But up until anyway, don't let that be an excuse, folks. They'll do it. I guess you were mentioning earlier, what we're like the second per capita.
Yes.
In the that's so good. Gosh, good for us.
Yeah.
I hope everybody out there is well. Just before I came on, I was man lusting after Kyle Pitts, knowing that. Knowing how things are probably going to go in my life, I'm sure Jerry Jones is going to make the Cowboys better by trading up somehow and adding him. And I'm going to be sitting there with the aged Kyle Rudolph saying, well, I like my guy too. I hope everybody out there as well, as I mentioned, and you might have caught it or not, because I was dropped. We're going to talk a little bit about Mead today, and then a couple other things that are going on around the store. And I'll join you again next week, and we'll start talking about Appalachians and start our world tour that we do every year in the second half of the year. Mead. So we talk about cooking with alcohol this month as well, and mead is sort of one of these wonderful cooking elements, but it's also just sort of a fascinating beverage in general. So let's talk a little bit about it. It is an extraordinarily varied beverage in terms of style. So when you're talking about cooking with it and trying to sort of, as we said earlier, put together in your head what the flavor profile is going to be, you also sort of need to determine, are you putting in a beverage that clocks in at, say, 3.5% alcohol, or are you putting in something that is more viscous, and, you know, upwards of, say, 18% alcohol or something like that. It's common to find meads even over 20% commercially. So it's not one of these, like in wine, of course, and especially as we're going to start to talk about next month and when we really focus on certain areas, it's not like, well, you know, from this area it has to be this alcohol percentage or between this alcohol or over this. It's very wide. You can have sparkling versions. You can have versions mixed with pretty much everything under the sun. And it's interesting in terms of that. One of the reasons I kind of like to touch on it in the cooking with alcohol month is that mead really is very rarely, especially throughout history, found on its own. It is far more common to be found mixed with anything. And so let's talk a little bit about the culture behind it, and then we can sort of talk about what came out of them. Obviously, it is ancient, right? The first residual samples that we have in Europe date from almost 3000 BC. Evidence in China from 7000 BC. And the first known mention of it is in the Rig Veda, which is an ancient Vedic and Hindu text, which I'm sure, since you have an educated listener base, you've potentially heard of that. That dates from 1700 to 1100 BC. That's the first written example of it. So it's ancient. It's also everywhere. I mean, it's just everywhere. And one of the chief reasons I've been sort of thinking about this as I got ready for today's show is that honey doesn't oxidize, right? Honey, and if, I mean, certainly right now we have a lot of focus on the honey bee and the gradual extinction of it at our hands, but it was a obviously vital part of anybody's ecosystem was the propagation of bees. It didn't just occur to us that bees are essential, and therefore, just like people like to travel with things to make booze, people also like to make sure that they could be in places where their crops would grow and be propagated. So bees and the honey that they create was fairly ubiquitous in a lot of parts of the world. I mean, we're talking anywhere from, as I said, you know, China at 7000 BC into Europe, and I'm sure if, you know, depending on what archaeologists and anthropologists you like to read and listen to, there probably are examples that will be found in the Americas when we finally get that far. But, you know, it's just been around forever and ever and ever. Both of my children are like trying to get my attention right now, and I've told them to absolutely please leave me alone. I'm sorry, Carrie, how many minutes do I have left?
Yeah, just about 4 minutes or so.
About 4 minutes, okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the first European example of it, because, frankly, I enjoy the thing. It's called the Bell Beaker culture. This is where we first anthropologically started to find examples of mead, right? So the Bell Beaker culture was a term for the widely scattered archaeological culture of prehistoric Western Europe. It was late Neolithic and running into the early Bronze Age. And the reason it was termed the Bell Beaker culture was based on the distinctive pottery drinking beakers that they made. And so that is where they started to find these remnants of the mead. So it's just kind of fun. I'm sorry, folks, I'm all over the place. I apologize. In my remaining time, I will move away from mead and just talk quickly about things at the store. For anybody who has been enjoying our month-long exploration of Bertani, the wonderful Veronese estate that makes that basically invented Amarone as we now know it, this is our last week, and indeed our wine of the week is their Amarone, as well as their Valpolicella Ripasso, which is made of the pomace from the Amarone that they run the Valpolicella wine over. Both of them are 10% off, as is our wine of the week practice. Do please, you know, take advantage of that. Watch the video. I'm very proud of it because I think it's extraordinarily insightful. And then next month, I'm excited to start. We'll be starting to focus on the Perrin family, the family that owns Chateau de Beaucastel. I have a wonderful interview with Emmanuel Lemoine, who is their chief liaison to, you know, schmucks like me, essentially. He did a wonderful, wonderful interview, and we are, I just was notified today that the reason we're going to be focusing on them is that for the first time ever, their Nature line, their certified organic line of Côte-de-Rhone's white, red, and rosé have landed, and we are going to be working with them and focusing on them, not just this coming month, but for the remainder of the spring and summer, so that our friends out there, our customers, have really nice, certified organic, affordable, everyday wines. We're going to have really, really, really nice pricing on them that gets incrementally better as you purchase more. So please avail yourself of our feature on the Bertani Estate for this month, the Perrin wines coming up for the next couple months. And aside from that, I guess in wrapping up, I should say go get vaccinated, folks. Despite my little headache and fuzziness, I can't wait to be outside and hugging people maskless again. And Rich, Gary, I think you know I'm talking about you.
Well, we feel the same way here. I hope this is the worst it gets for you and everything is feeling right in the morning.
Darn tootin'. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. We'll start on Appalachian.
Woo! Looking forward to it. Thanks, right. Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Visit them at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. And if you ever miss Eric's segment, links are posted right on our website at downtownwithrichkimble.com. Just click on the Message in the Bottle link.